We're doing Megillat Antiochus, which has many names. This is a story of the Maccabees and the story of Hanukkah that is quoted in ancient works. This is not the Sifrei Hashmonaim, which has its source in Christian works. This is a work that we have on tradition going back maybe 2,000 years. Some communities used to read this publicly. The Rav Saadia Gaon speaks about it, and the commentary of Rav Saadia Gaon on the Book of Daniel has a translation into Arabic. So there's an introduction to this work by Rav Saadia Gaon. This was around in ancient times. It wasn't instituted by our sages to be read. It's unclear who actually wrote it. They did have customs to read it in different communities, and some would read it publicly, and some would read it privately. But it's not an ancient institution. Quite the contrary, the Talmud says we do not have an institution to read anything to commemorate the war. Now, we have different versions here. Last year we did Megillat Antiochus, and I think that's the one that's most encompassing. There are also Midrashim about Hanukkah, and there are differences between the two. Last year I think we compared. This year we're short on time. You guys are going out on a trip. I think this is the last time we're learning till after Hanukkah together. I think so. I mean, you have class tomorrow night, and you might have Tuesday night, but that's not with me. I give the advanced class Monday and Tuesday night, and by Wednesday night you guys are out on the teal, if I understood correctly. Okay. So we're going to try to do the most basic, I think. We'll try to do the most basic, which is Megillat Antiochus. We have copies out there. You guys could look in together. And I think for the sake of brevity, I'll just translate it, and you guys could follow in the Hebrew. You have the place? So I'm not reading the Hebrew. If you want, online, we have at least that on 123torah.org, you could find the copies of... we did this class where I read the Hebrew and translated it and divided it into sections, but... we're short on time this year. So, we'll quickly go through the story. It was the days of Antiochus, the Greek king. He was a big and powerful king, and he had a powerful rulership, and he had all the kings listening to him. He conquered many countries and powerful kings, and he destroyed their palaces and their churches. He burnt them all on fire, and he took their men into captivity. And from the days of Alexander of Macedon, the king, there hadn't been a king as powerful as he on the other side of the Euphrates. And he built a great city by the seaside that should be his kingdom, that should be his capital. And he called it Antiochia, named after himself. And he had a second in command named Bagris, who built a city corresponding, and he called it Bagris. And till today, the author of this Megillah says that's their names. And it was 23 years into his rule, which was the year 213 to the Temple of Hashem. Then he decided to focus on the ascent to Jerusalem, and he told ministers, you know, the Jews are living in Jerusalem in our midst. They don't sacrifice to our God. They don't do our religion, and they don't do the king's way of life because they do their way of life. And they're constantly waiting for the kingdoms to collapse. They say, when will we finally have our Messiah? And then we'll rule over the land and the sea, and we'll rule the world. So it's not right that the kingdom should leave them around. So let's ascend to attack them, and let's sever their covenant. And this is one of the important concepts of Hanukkah, that the Greeks had a goal to sever our covenant with Hashem. And that's why they said, let's sever their covenant, which is Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, and Milah. Those three mitzvos. And The ministers liked the idea, as did his soldiers. So Antiochus called Nicanor, which was his vice president, together with a large army, and they went and they pounced on the city of Jerusalem. They killed tremendous numbers of people. They set up an idol in the temple, in the place where God had said to the servants that that's where he would be present. And they slaughtered a pig, and they brought its blood into the holy, into the Azara. And when Yochanan ben Matityahu, the high priest, heard what happened, he got very upset. His face changed, and he thought to himself, what could I do? So Yochanan ben Matityahu made himself a sword, 2 amos long, and a zeret wide, a hand's width wide. And he wrapped it under his garments, and he went up to Jerusalem, came to the gate of the king, and he called the gatesmen, the guards, and he said to them, I am Yochanan ben Matityah, I came to enter before Nicanor. So the guard said to Nicanor, the high priest of the Jews is standing at the entrance, and Nicanor said, let him enter. So Yochanan was brought before Nicanor, and Nicanor said to Yochanan, you're one of those that rebelled against the king, and don't seek the peace of the kingdom. And Yochanan said to Nicanor, my master, it is I, so I've come to you to do as you please. And Nicanor said to Yochanan, if you want to do as I please, take a pig and slaughter it to that idol, and then I'll dress you with royal clothing, and I'll ride you on the king's horse, and you'll be one of the king's friends. And when Yochanan heard this, he said, my master, I'm scared of the Israelites. When the Jews hear that I do this, such a thing, they'll stone me. And so let everyone leave the room, so no one will tell the Jews I did this. So Nicanor ordered everyone to leave, and Yochanan ben Matityahu lifted his eyes to heaven, and he prayed before his God, and he said, my God and the God of my fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, don't give me in the hands of this uncircumcised one. Because if he kills me, he'll go and praise his idol and say, my God, you gave him in my hands. And then he took 3 steps forward, and he took the sword and stuck it in his heart, and threw him dead in the holy Azara. And Yochanan said before Hashem, the God of the heaven, and he said, my God, don't consider this a sin for me that I killed him in your temple, in your holy temple. Now, just as you let me take him down, let us take down all the nations that came to lay siege on Judea and Jerusalem. And Yochanan went out that day, and he led the war against the nations and killed tremendous numbers. And the nations the people that escaped fled by sea to Antiochus. On that day, he killed 72,700 men. There was such a turmoil in the camp that it wasn't only him and his men, but the people started killing one another. And when he came back to the temple, so he came back to Jerusalem, he built a large pillar named after himself. He called it Maccabi, which means he who kills powerful people. Yeah?
I got a question which may seem unrelated, but it is. This is Parsha. You learn how Yosef, in the disguise of like being the viceroy of Egypt, imprisons his brother, one of the brothers, right? And says, you know, he tells his brother, unless you do this or that, I'm going to do this or that to you, right? He's talking to, you know, his brothers, two of whom were able to wipe out an entire city. So, you see how, when you're talking about, like, you know, Yochanan being rebelling against a massive number of people, like, you know, winning the, like, miracle, right? They were able to, like, win. What's to stop them, in this case, from doing the same thing, for, like, saying, oh, you want to mess with us, well, we'll just lead a rebellion then?
Maybe we'll discuss it later. Now we got to finish this. Remind me later, we'll try to get there. So, when Antiochus heard that his second-in-command, Nicanor, was killed, he was very upset, and he called in Bagris the Wicked, the one who would lead people astray after idol worship. And Antiochus said to Bagris, don't you know, haven't you heard what the Jews did to me? They killed my soldiers, they looted my camps and my ministers. Now, what are you guys so confident over? Your money, your houses? Let's go ascend and sever their covenant that God made with them. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Mila. And Bagris took his camps and he went against Jerusalem and he killed tremendous numbers. and he made an absolute decree that no one keep Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, or circumcise their kids. And in those days, the king was upset, and they were trying to enforce this decree. They found the person that circumcised his son, and they brought the man and the woman, and they hung them in front of the child. And the woman gave birth to a child after her husband died. She circumcised them at 8 days old, and then she went up to the wall that surrounded Jerusalem with her circumcised hand, and she yelled out and said, "I'm calling you Bagris the wicked. You think to annul the covenant that God made with us. This is our forefathers' covenant. We're not stopping. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Mila will not leave our children and grandchildren." And with that, she and her son, she threw her son off the wall and she followed after him, and the two died together. And a lot of the Jews did the same thing. They would not give up on their covenant. And at that time, the Jews said, "Look, if we can't stay in town and keep Shabbos, let's go out to the caves. We can't desecrate Shabbos." So there are always those people. They went and they snitched. They ratted to Bagris. And Bagris sent men in armor, and they sat by the entrance to the cave. And they said, "Jews, come out, eat our bread, drink our wine, be like us." And the Jews said, "We remember on Sinai we were commanded, work for 6 days, do whatever you have to do, but on Shabbos rest. And now we're better off dying in the cave than desecrating the Shabbos." And when they didn't come out, so the men came, they brought wet wood, and they burnt it at the entrance to the cave, and about 1,000 men and women died in that cave. Then Bagris the Wicked commanded that a girl shouldn't go be with her husband until she first went to the king, which was probably him. And the Chashmonaim had a girl. They thought to bring her before Bagris, and when she saw that her brothers thought to bring her before the governor, she yelled bitterly, she tore off her clothing, and she says, "This is what you're going to do? Give me before this uncircumcised one? Why don't you do like your forefathers? Why don't you be zealous? Like you see, Shimon and Levi were zealous over Dina. And then the creator of heaven and earth will help you and you'll succeed in this." And so the five brothers were aroused by their sister. And you had Yochanan, over here it says, and his four brothers, the five sons of Matityahu. They went to fight these nations and they killed tremendous numbers of them. And they chased him out to the islands because they had confidence in the God of heaven. So Bagris the Wicked entered a ship. He fled to Antiochus with many people, fugitives. They had all run away from the sword. And Bagris said to Antiochus, "You gave a commandment to annul Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Mila from the Jews. And there was a great rebellion. And if you want to conquer them, you should know if all the nations get together, they can't overtake the five sons of Matityahu. They're stronger than lions and swifter than eagles and more brazen than bears. So here's what I tell you. If you want to fight them, you got to bring large numbers. If you'll fight them with a small number of people, you'll be shamed before all the kings. So send a letter to all the different countries that are in your kingdom and let all the generals come. All of them should be gathered. Don't leave any behind. Bring them with elephants that are dressed in armor, and with that you should attack." And Antiochus liked the idea, so he sent word throughout his kingdom, and the generals from all the nations came, and they brought elephants dressed in armor. And then Bagris arose a second time, and he attacked Jerusalem. He breached the wall, the fortification, and he made 13 breaches in the wall of the temple. He severed the entrance, he severed the place where water would flow in, and he broke the stones to the point where they were turned to dust. And he thought, "This time the Jews won't be able to overtake me. I took so many soldiers, I am so powerful, they'll never win me." And God in heaven didn't think that way. And so when the five brothers, the five sons of Matityahu heard, they went to Mitzpeh Gilad, the place where the Jews were saved in the days of the prophet Shmuel. They declared a fast, the day to unify everyone together. They sat on the hearth. They begged for mercy before Hashem, the God of the heavens. And they had a good plan. Their name was, Yehudah was the eldest, then Shimon, then Yochanan, he was the middle son, then Yonatan, and finally Elazar. Their father blessed them before he sent them out to war, and he said, "Yehudah, my son, I bless you like Yehuda, the son of Jacob, that was compared to a lion. Shimon, my son, I bless you to be like the son of Yaakov, who killed out the people of Shechem. Yochanan, my son, I bless you to be like Avner ben Ner, the chief general of Israel. Yonatan, my son, I bless you, you should be like Yonatan, the son of Saul, who defeated and killed the nation of the Philistines. Elazar, my son, I bless you to be like Pinchas ben Elazar, that was zealous for God and saved the people of Israel from God's wrath. And with that blessing, the five went out. They went to fight these nations, and they killed tremendous numbers. And in the battle, Yehuda was killed. And when the sons of Matityahu saw that Yehuda, the eldest, was killed, they came back to their father, and he said, "What'd you come back for?" And they said, "Yehuda was killed. He was as strong as all of us put together." And Matityahu said, "Then I'll go with you and I'll fight with you. The people of Israel can't be lost. And you guys have to take comfort over your brother and move forward." And Matityahu went back out with them and they fought the nations. And the God of heaven gave all the brave warriors of the nations in their hands. They killed tremendous numbers. Whoever was out there with an outstretched sword and whoever was pulling their bow and arrow, the ministers, the second in command, none were left. The remnants fled to the sea, and Elazar was busy killing the elephants, and he died in the feces of the elephants. When they came back,
he died.
Yeah, Elazar, yeah.
Where does he die?
Where does he die?
Who died?
Okay. And when they came back, they looked for him. They couldn't find him, and finally they found that he had drowned in the feces of the elephants. Now the Jews rejoiced that their enemies were given in their hands. Some were burnt, some were stabbed, some were hung. And Bagris the wicked, they burnt him. And Antiochus, when he heard that Bagris was killed and his ministers were killed, so he entered a ship and he fled out to an island. And wherever he'd go, people would rebel against him and say, "Ah, you ran away, you ran away." And finally he committed suicide, throwing himself into the sea. After that, the Jews returned to the temple. They rebuilt the gates that were broken. They fixed the breaches of the walls. They purified the courtyard from all the dead and the defilement. And they looked for pure olive oil to light the menorah. They couldn't find but one flask that was sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol from the days of Shmuel the prophet. And so they knew it was pure. And it had enough oil to light for one day. And the God of heaven, whose name He placed to rest there, blessed it, and it lit for 8 days. And so the sons of Chashmonai accepted the following and prohibited the following, and Israel accepted with them. What they accepted was that for 8 days they'd have days of rejoicing and happiness, like the holidays of the Torah. They'd light candles on these days, and they'd let their offsprings know how God, the God of heaven, helped them, and they were victorious. And on these days, we don't eulogize, we don't declare fast. Unless a person has a vow he took from beforehand, then he pays it up, it says here, and he prays before his God. But the Chashmonai and his sons and his brothers, they did not declare that we would be prohibited from doing work on these days. It's not like a full-fledged biblical holiday. And from that day onward, the Greek kingdom was no longer famous. The Hasmoneans received the kingdom over Israel, and they and their descendants from that day onward till the destruction of the temple, 206 years. And so the Jews from that day onward, we watch over these days throughout our exile. We call them days of parties and happiness from the 25th of Kislev for 8 days. And forever these days will remain with the Jewish people. The Kohanim, the Levim, the wise men throughout the temple accepted upon themselves and generations forever to maintain these days of Chanukah.